Welcome to Good Things Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. My name is Brooke Taylor, and today, another bonus episode for you. I wanted to get this out to spotlight someone who is doing beautiful things, and I'm sandwiching it here between a series. Part one, we just heard from Layla Miller about holy masculinity, godly leadership, and part two will be next week with Hector Molina, and he'll be talking about a continuation of that theme. And so if you didn't yet hear my conversation with Layla, this is also a nudge to check that out because you'll definitely want to hear her message. It's episode number 206 before next week when we get into that same theme with Hector. So part of why I wanted to release this show now is because I've been noticing a rise in the focus on making the home a place of sanctuary. And I think anyway, that naturally happens this time of year with the fall decor. It's so fun. People get excited to put their pumpkin candles out and the cozy throw blankets and, of course, anything with apples and cinnamon or comfort food. But I also think that we are in such a time of unrest that it is a sense of wanting to create a cocoon of security and comfort in our home, to make our home a sanctuary when the rest of the world is so crazy, that this is a refuge that we can give to our family. And I think that today's guest speaks to that because it's not in the big things. Over and over, natural law, God's creation, God's word reminds us that the sanctity and beauty are to be found in simple things, in silent prayer, in the sunrise, in the way that we love and care for one another through small things, doing small things with great love, making all that we do an offering of beauty. And that's the specialty of our guest today. And I had a moment of clarity about this last week. I was cleaning my boys' room, and I haven't regularly been in their rooms and doing this since before everything happened with COVID. It's typically the routine I have when they're in school. And two or three times a week, I'll go in and I'll just tidy, clean the sheets, put holy water on their pillows, bless their beds, make everything all nice and crisp so their bed is really nice, put the lines in the carpet when I'm vacuuming, have a candle when they come home. And I haven't done that in so long because everything has been turned upside down. And I realized when I got back into that routine, this is the way that I love my family. And I love loving them this way. When they come home and they're like, whoa, somebody cleaned my room. I mean, wouldn't we all love that? And it's not like I baby them, but I think we all need that sometimes. And that was really what pulled me back into the home. After decades of building up my career, I was really influenced by a book by Cardinal Joseph Menzenzi, and it's called Mother. And it is still one of my most treasured possessions. And I really mean that because it gave my vocation a beauty and a purpose that forever changed my life. And so I just want to share a few opening lines with you because it all ties in. He writes this: "Man is worn out by his work. It absorbs his very blood. But woman moves on into the future through her children and her children's children. The span of woman's work is of longer duration than man's. The hour, the moment, the now belongs to man, but woman has the future of nations in her grasp. Man desires to conquer and win. The world must belong to him. The old adage expresses it: the home of the man is the world, but the world of a woman is the home. From all this, it can be seen why the nature of woman is designed to be so receptive, so susceptible in the finer sense of the word, and so open to suffering. Her observant mind enlivens and transforms the world. It notes even the slightest impulse when the life of her child hangs in the balance. In the service of this life, she is ready to make the most stupendous sacrifices. Each home has its own soul. The soul cannot be breathed into the home from the outside. It is rather the breath of life of every family. An old grandmother of long ago explained the soul of her family when she said, the soul of the family plants every shrub, every flower, every tree. There are traces of its hand and its tireless work everywhere. Every piece of household furniture has its own life, has its own history. Everything still retains a bit of the pleasure and sorrow to which it has been witness. Every corner of the house bears its own testimony in the history of that family. And he goes on to talk about guarding this sacred fire, the soul of the family. Mothers, you are the gatekeeper, and it is not to say that a father's work is less important. It's just different. And I think he illustrates that. Man's work is equal in dignity and call. But for this purpose, I'm speaking to the women, traditionally more the heartbeat of the home, the homemakers. Another quote, "The resurrection of a nation depends primarily on the establishment of good, saintly, and moral families. Poison world can only be brought back to a sound state by the healthy cells of Christian families. The spiritual health of the family is by far more necessary than tax programs and building of roads. Knights of old were accustomed to wear the coat of arms of their family on their shield. They went into battle with the cry, 'Be worthy of your forefathers.' Family represents home, security, pride, and peace. And it is a masterpiece of truth." Again, called The Mother by Cardinal Joseph Mzenzi, Prince Primate of Hungary. Always, I believe we need this reminder because so often the apostolate of the Christian mother is tragically obscured and muted when it should be magnified now more than ever. So if you ever feel that what you're doing isn't valuable or noticed or appreciated, just know that it has eternal importance. And the quiet prayers for your children from when you wake up, the small sacrifices that you make, these are all incredibly important. And today's guest speaks to the small ways that we can add beauty to our home, particularly in the gift that she's been given. Let's jump in.
I'm really excited about this segment because it represents why I love doing the show. A big part is bringing you familiar names that you know and love. We just had Father John Ricardo on the program, for example, discussing very important matters, urgent matters of faith and prayer and catechesis. But also, it's the surprises and introducing you to something brand new and people that you may not have heard of. But when you do, you are going to be so happy that you know about them and what they're doing. And that, for me, is one of the best, most exciting parts of doing the show. And that's the case today. So a little backstory before we get to our mystery guest today that I know you're going to love. So for a while, I have been on the search for a new Blessed Mother statue. We have a few very special ones in our home. Both of them have a story. And that's, for me, how I like to obtain sacred items for my home. It's not just necessarily picking it up at Walmart, although I have done that before too. But what I love is when there's a significance behind it, whether it's from a travel and there she was, or whether it's a Sacred Heart, whatever it is. The very first Blessed Mother statue, for example, that I ever purchased was at the EWTN Family Festival, because Mother Angelica is from Canton, Ohio. That's the area we live. And so EWTN, they had this huge family festival that came to our area. And I remember having prayed to find an Our Lady. And as soon as I set my eyes on the statue at this family festival, I knew. And she has been a beloved fixture of our home since then. And so it's the case with this time around too. In my heart, I knew what I was looking for this time. My birthday's on August 22nd, but that's also the feast of the Queenship of Mary. And so I was looking for a statue that would speak to Mary's royalty, her divine motherhood, Queen of Peace, the Queen of Heaven role, all of the titles that we venerate her under. And so to make a long story short, I looked and I could not find what I was looking for. And you know, we're impatient. You want to find what it is right away. Until I found this Etsy shop that I had never seen before. It's called Regina Annis, and my jaw dropped when I visited the store. Every statuary looks like something you would find out of a French antique store, with a story and beautiful special touches behind it. So as soon as I saw that store, I fell in love with all of the Blessed Virgin Mary statues. And there's also the Sacred Heart and beautiful different things. So since then, I was blessed to connect with Regina. And it turns out, I don't think that's unusual for her to have customers reaching out, because her work induces such emotion, I think, of joy, nostalgia, devotion, gratitude. So we started to message back and forth and talk. And I was just so moved by her heart and work. And I know that you will be too. So I'm excited to bring her, introduce her to you on the show today and hear a little bit more about her work, her call, and her story. Excited to welcome Regina to the show today. Hello.
Good morning, Brooke.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
I'm glad that you reached out to me. I was quite surprised to get a call from you.
I try to do a good job of describing your store, but you are the artist. So can you tell us about your designs and your store?
Sure. When you first asked me about this, it took some research for me. I was like, well, I know what I do. I do it on a daily basis. But for me to actually begin and tell you where I started, that was a bit more of a challenge. Most people ask me what I do for a living. I do have a full-time job, but this is what I consider to be my passion. And I enjoy this the most. And it is creating aged statuaries. It's sacred art. I felt a need to have them in my home. And so friends and family started asking if I would do something for them. It's like, sure. Can you paint mine? Yes, sure. So it's wrong. But in the beginning, I like a Hayestown style. It's southern. It's full of grottos and niches. And the Francis statue that was displayed in those lovely grottos wasn't finished. It was unfinished. And it just, I don't know, it wasn't the right complement. So I decided, I can do that. I can make it age just like that beautiful old cypress wooden grotto.
Yeah.
So I started practicing and playing, and from there it kind of grew.
Well, you have Our Lord, Our Lady, Saints, the Sacred Heart, you have shadow boxes. What's the process of finding things? Because it's not just the aesthetic, the beauty, as you're talking about, there's something that pulls you to, it's like a providential thing. Do you find these items or do they find you?
I do go and search for them. I have a great relationship with a cement mason that's been making Catholic statues for a very long time. So he and I have a great relationship, and I paint the pieces that he creates for me and with me. We go from there, but I do search for new pieces often that speak to me that I haven't seen before. I have a Infant of Prague statue that I have never seen before. It's cement. It's about 3 foot tall. It weighs a lot. It's like something that you truly would have found in France or Round Top Antiquing, where I enjoy going and I see the, all the religious artifacts there that they bring from across the country. And it's just amazing and intriguing. And that particular statue is one that I don't think I want to ever part with because it's so special to me.
I was going to ask if you have a favorite. It sounds like that might be in the top.
Yeah. I'm in the process of creating a Marian garden in my backyard. Right now, it's a 5 foot tall Our Lady of Lourdes statue. She's huge, magnificent, and I'm collecting all of the flowers that go into a Marian garden and creating that.
Oh, that's so, and where you live in Louisiana, you have the climate for some of the most beautiful blooms. So I can only imagine. Can you please share when you have that finished? I know you're on social media.
Yes, absolutely. I love sharing all of my statues.
One of the things that I love learning about is iconography and the process of that. And it's sacred art. It's art that is spiritual in essence. And the iconographer has to be trained, and you pray every step of the way, and it's gold leafed. And they are, icon is a window. It's a window to heaven. And it's something that allows us to honor God, and they lift us up to the prototypes, to the holy personages whom they depict. It's a very important responsibility for those who are entrusted with that. Is there prayer that goes into it for you?
Oh, absolutely. Every statue that I paint is peaceful for me. It's very rewarding. Prayer is a big part of it. Looking at her face as I'm painting Mary, it's the curves, the contours. Every time I look at it, I see her in a new light and think of things that I've never thought of before. I grow stronger in my faith because of it.
I wanted to ask about that, if you might share your own faith story.
Sure. It's I did not realize that I was always Catholic. I am in my late 40s, and late adulthood is when I discovered that I wanted to fulfill, I wasn't grown up Catholic, I wasn't in the faith, that I wanted to start doing this on my own as an adult. I needed it for peace. So I went back to the Catholic Church.
So had you been raised? Were you raised Catholic, Regina?
I was not. I joined RCIA as an adult.
Okay.
I told my parents that I was going to RCIA. They didn't say anything. I told a relative that I was getting baptized, and she laughed and she says, "Honey, I hate to tell you this, but you're already Catholic and baptized. You won't be getting baptized again." I laughed and I said, "Excuse me?" She says, "You need to go home and have a serious conversation with your parents." I said, "Okay." I march home. "Mother, what is this story that I hear that I'm already Catholic and not aware?"
Wow.
And she says, "I left the Catholic Church a long time ago." So after more digging, I realized that my parents were married in the Catholic Church. I didn't know that either.
Wow.
Yeah. So I continued on with RCIA, found all of my paperwork. I went to the church where I was baptized, went down memory lane, remembered all kind of things that she didn't remember. I just grew in my Catholic faith, and I was just excited that I was back in the church. Just, I never stopped. It was like I was finally found. I finally belonged again, and I joined ministries in the church, and I feel that this is one of my ministries of many that I contribute to the Catholic faith. It's very rewarding. I know I don't have the words to portray it, but you can see it in my work.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And I love the story about those graces from your baptism were imprinted in you and they are there. And even though you didn't know it, there was this grace, this Holy Spirit magnet calling you back. And I'm sure you were attracted also, it sounds like, to the beauty. The church is so beautiful. The churches, our statues, our stained glass windows. And I know for some that always can be a point of contention. I know when I was working in evangelical circles a lot, they'd say, "Well, you're making idols of this," or, you know, we aren't supposed to make graven images. But really, again, as I read about the icons, it elevates us up to heaven. That's the purpose. We don't worship the statues as if, and we tell the story all the time, like Mother Angelica said, when you have a picture of someone that you love on your desk, you're looking at that picture because you love them, and it's the same thing. So I love that you do that, and your work speaks to your customers. You were sharing a few awesome stories with me. Two in particular, I want you to retell. I want to hear them again. One is about an elderly gentleman that reached out to you. And was he a World War II veteran? What was the story there?
Yes, he was. He was in the service. He found me on Etsy and said that he was in Germany and traveling through a deserted grassy field and stumbled upon an area where he was going to sit down and take a break. And it happened to be near a Marian statue. He said it was a very small statue of Mary, and it was rusted, it was aged, it had a little crown that was falling off. And he said that image kept him through those trying times. And he just stumbled across my site on the internet and said, "That's the one. That's the image that I remember." And he had to have it because it reminded him of that time. And I was just brought to tears by his story that he shared. He shared more details than what I'm offering, but it was just moving that he was like, "That's the one. That's what I need in my life."
All these decades later, and that would continue to remain with him. And oh my goodness, I mean, that has to be so rewarding for you. And without knowing, I mean, this is how the Lord works in the spirit, you know, without knowing, you are providing exactly what this man is looking for.
The whole time it's in delivery, I'm mailing the package. I'm praying Hail Marys that the whole statue arrives unbroken, unscathed, and in one piece. I'm like, "Oh dear Jesus, please make it safely."
I can only imagine how he must have felt, because I had a glimpse of that. that when my own statue arrived. And in fact, my son recorded me opening it. And the way you wrap it, first of all, I have to share this. It came in two different packages because it's an ensemble. So, and if you're on social media, you've hopefully already seen the photograph of Our Lady on a pedestal. So that arrived first in a box with this beautiful bundle that you had sent with her crown and her rosary, which was in this velvet box. It is exquisite, the packaging. And that arrived one day. And I thought, oh, and I had Carolina, she was helping me open it. And then Our Lady didn't arrive to the next day, which I don't know if you planned it that way, but that was a brilliant strategy because I had to wait. It was delayed gratification. But to be able to receive first the rosary and the crown, I studied it. I looked at it. My children looked at it. And just anticipating her arrival. And then when she came and I opened it, it was all that I had hoped that it would be. And the way you wrap it, I mean, obviously you're a pro at this. So I think for me, it's an heirloom. It is an heirloom piece that I know will be in our family for generations. And you, and speaking of that, had a story about a man that called you and wanted to give something to his parents for not only him, but his sister. And I was on the edge of my seat with this story. So please share that.
Actually, yes. I received a phone call. I was doing another job working one day and my phone rang and I couldn't take the call. I thought, okay, they'll just leave a message. It calls back like 2 minutes later again. And I'm like, geez, I didn't even have time to listen to the message. So I didn't listen, take that call either. Then again, it rings. I'm like, okay, somebody is really intent on speaking to me. So I go into the little office, I close the door and I'm like, hello? I mean, it's like excitable times 10. This is Brittany Jordan. I'm calling from, let me see, where he's telling me, Washington. I'm calling from Washington. And blah, 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 blah. He's talking so fast, I have to get a pen and a pad and start jotting down little things that he's inciting to me. I discovered you on Etsy. I found you. I need a statue. Did I tell you my name? My name's Brother Jordan. My sister and I are in the religious order, and we both enrolled at the same time, and we're going home for our very first leave to see our parents in Tennessee, and I would like to purchase a Sacred Heart of Jesus and an Immaculate Heart of Mary statue from you, just whatever you decide, whatever you choose. I need it mailed to my parents for when we come home, and I want to give it to them as a gift from my sister, who is going to be a sister, and from myself, who's going to be, God willing, a priest one day. And there's just one problem. We took a vow of poverty, and I don't have any money. I said, okay. So he's like, but I really want to give this gift to my parents. And he's like, but don't let that deter you. And I'm like, well, okay, we can work something out. He goes, oh, no, I have a benefactor. My brother is my benefactor, our benefactor, excuse me. With the right scale, he can pay for your time and your work and these pieces. So we made an arrangement, and I said, okay, how about this amount? And he's like, yeah, he can afford that. Okay, great. So he's like, I'm so excited. Now, I had to get permission for my superior to even call you, is why I called you back, because I really wanted to talk to you, because I only have a 5-minute, 10-minute break. And he says, so I just needed to get this done. So if you need to reach me, you can call me back, but it's on someone else's phone. It's not my phone. I don't have anything. I have no worldly possessions, nothing. So you'll have to reach this brother and leave a message on his phone. He has permission to have a phone. It was just like another world listening to this. He was elated with joy. I had a smile on my face for the rest of the day from ear to ear.
Then I imagine that moment when his parents opened the gift and they received it. But do you ever hear from people after they get the gift, or do you just have to let it go? And
some do, yes. They'll send me a cute little card, a picture, or a letter with their story. And others say what you just said as a sacramental. And yes, they're going to have their item blessed. Yes. And they want to pass it on to generation after generation, and they want this to stay in their family for, you know, many children and family to come. Yes, I do get those stories, and I put them on a bulletin board in my office, and I keep them all.
that's a great thing to do, and kind of praise reports along the way. And in a time where statues are being torn down and desecrated, this is so refreshing. To me, it was a little Ebenezer stone. It was a victory stone that I could raise in my home and say, we are proud Catholics. We will protect and love Our Lady. And I love that you do that in a time where there's a lot of darkness and ugliness. You are bringing forth such beauty. And Plutarch said, painting is silent poetry. And I know it's not painting necessarily. There's a whole system that goes into this for you, but it really is like a psalm that you are offering when you look at your shop and you see the beautiful items that you offer. How can people get a hold of you, Regina?
ReginaAnnes.com, ReginaAnnes is my website. And some of my story is there, as well as items that I have available.
Your name is so Catholic, so surely that was a giveaway.
I thought the same thing.
Well, we will follow up and be in touch and support you. Please also continue to share your work online. It was really neat. I saw you posted an article about Grandma Chic coming back in style. And basically, that's what you do. That's these beautiful feminine, but they also have a strength to them, these pieces that look vintage. Was that the essence of the article?
Yes, it was. That the new decor style is clean lines, but they're bringing back grandma's old sofa, but giving it a new look. The old Marys that were traditional blue and white, I'll just give them a new look, and then they'll stay in someone's home. I desire for statues that I create, especially the smaller Marians, to be on someone's kitchen counter where they see it daily washing dishes.
Yes. Oh, I love that, Regina. I had a blog for the longest time. It's still up there, but I don't post as much, called The Sacred Sink. And it's finding the divine in the dirt and grime. And that is it, because so much of our life, for women in particular, we're in the kitchen. And this is how we serve. This is our mission field. So yes, I love that. It doesn't necessarily have to be an old nook that no one is going to see, but it, you know, she could be right up there. Hopefully, God willing, she won't get knocked over. But I know what you mean, to find a safe place for her and front and center. So thank you, and God bless you for your work. Please continue just to post, and know that we're supporting and praying for you.
Oh, that's wonderful. The same with you.
Thank you again to Regina Anns. I have a big smile because I'm just so happy to bring you her work. And I really hope sincerely that you go to her website, that you support what she does. And if you have a story, please share, because that's what I loved hearing, the customer feedback that she was talking about, from the World War II veteran to the young seminarian. So thank you again. Again, I will link up the information not only in the show notes, but through our newsletter as well. Please reach out if you have any feedback or input as well. TheBrookTaylorShow@gmail.com. Remember, next week, part two of our Holy Masculinity series, Hector Molina will be my guest. A big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So for any production needs you may have, visit him at CummingHomeStudio.com. Until next time, friends, God bless you. Peace and love.